Have you noticed a barrage of projectiles crashing down on your roof this fall? Or maybe had Mother Nature ding you in the head when you were out on an autumn walk or a hike? Maybe you thought to yourself, dang, is it just me? Or are there a lot of acorns this year?
There are. We have a copious crop of acorns, walnuts. Conifers are producing a lot of cones, so it's not just you.
Much to the delight of squirrels, chipmunks, and other creatures, 2021 has been a big year for acorns, walnuts, and other fruit of Michigan trees. And it's not just acorns. These years of weird weather are causing all kinds of plants to react. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, Michigan's unexpected bumper crops. Well, it's not quite correct to say crop. You would say mast in horticulture?
Yeah, so that's the term that foresters would use, or people that deal, especially people that deal with wildlife management.
That's Bert Craig, professor of horticulture at Michigan State University. So, what about this year's mast of acorns and walnuts? What kind of conditions have led to this bounty that we're seeing?
So it's a kind of a complex thing. It's sort of a perfect storm, if you will. There are several things that go into it. One of the things is the weather conditions last year. So the nuts and things that you're seeing, those are from flowers that were produced early in the spring. Those flowers came from buds that were actually produced last year. So it's not so much the weather this year, although that has a role, but it's also the weather last year. And we did have a fairly stressful summer last year, especially the early part of the summer. And stress is one of the things that triggers trees to flower. It's sort of an evolutionary thing. If the tree is under stress and thinking in quotes that it's not gonna be able to make it, then its first thing is to try to reproduce. And so that's why we get this sort of stress flowering, if you will, that occurs this year, even though the stress was last year. And then other things go into it. There's alternate bearing. So people that are probably familiar with things like apples and cherries know that we tend to have a cycle of good years and bad years, and if trees produce a lot of fruit one year, they'll produce less the next year, and if it's less one year, it'll be heavy the next year. So you've got that cycle that's going on, and then again, the weather sort of superimposed over that. And then sort of the final piece is the weather this spring. So if, for example, we have a late frost, that can take out the flowers on the oaks or the walnuts, and then they don't have a chance to produce the seed later in the year. For a lot of people, they may not notice oak flowers. They have them. They come out very early in the spring, probably one of the first things that actually comes out. They're very indistinct. They're pale greenish sort of things that come out early in the spring. A lot of people don't even notice them oftentimes until they'll drop down and kind of dry up on your sidewalk in the early spring. But
Right.
those are what end up producing the nuts.
Right. How does one measure how large the mast is from year to year? I mean, are you looking more at those flowers or are you looking more at the nuts themselves?
They would be looking at the nuts themselves, and not the kind of thing that I would do, but for example, people that are involved with wildlife management, they'll keep track of these things. And they have different ways of doing it. A lot of it, gets down to simply setting up some plots and you have so many per square meter kind of thing, and they'll keep track of that to have an idea of what's out there for the wildlife.
You said a moment ago that if there's a particularly large mast in one year, the next year's yield will not be quite so big. So does it actually take a toll on the health of the tree if you have a large mast year, or is it more that that's just a reflection of the kind of conditions that the tree's been enduring?
Yeah, that's a good question. There is a trade-off. So if you want to think of it, a plant only has so much energy reserves to go around. And so if it is producing a lot of nuts, so it's gone into this mode where it's prioritizing reproduction, then there is a cost. A lot of that's typically seen more in growth. So if we have a lot of energy that's going into producing these nuts or acorns, walnuts, then typically you will see less shoot growth or less radial growth for that tree in a given year. It could also potentially affect some secondary compounds or defense compounds or things that might ward off insects, but probably the bigger effect is going to be on growth.
Hey, Bert, what is the year's mast from one year to the next? What does that tell us about the health of our trees?
Well, it definitely indicates that they've been under some stress. So the heavier the mast or the cone crop, and well, it's all to do with conifers, so I may slip into that a little bit, but it's a similar phenomenon. And so it's generally telling us that we've had, you know, some stress along the way, what the stress was and the extent of it's not always clear. We know if we go back and look at some of the weather records from last year, for example, which I've done for some other projects, we did have a pretty good dry period, or extended dry period, I should say, early in the summer last year. And so that's probably what's driving a lot of what we're seeing here. So it's indicating there was some stress along the way.
Right. What would you say is the effect on the larger ecosystem that these trees are part of? I mean, I assume the squirrels have got to be just going bananas trying to capitalize on everything that we're seeing on the ground right now. But are there other winners when we have a bountiful mast in Michigan?
Sure. Lots of things, eat acorns and other nuts. Certainly deer are going to benefit from this. Turkeys. There's lots of, and that's why wildlife people pay attention to this. And I'm not a wildlife specialist, just so you know. But, that's why they pay attention to this, because these nuts and so forth, they're very high energy, high fat kinds of food. And so for these wildlife to be able, particularly to overwinter, those high energy kinds of foods are very important.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
It's not exactly a secret that we're seeing some very different seasonal temperatures in Michigan these days. What do you notice about changes in climate and the effect that that's having on our mast production?
Yeah, lots of things. I think the things that we're seeing with climate, of course, everybody wants to focus on warming and sort of general temperature trends, and boy, it sure seems hotter than it's been. But I think the things that are really going to start to impact us and already are really on the tail ends of the seasons. And so, for example, we're seeing a lot more variability in the early spring. If you think about this year, we had a lot of warm temperatures early on, but then we still get frost. And so you can have issues with more late frost damage. You think about 2012, where we had here in mid-Michigan, a lot of places had, a week of 80-degree weather in the middle of March, ended up with no cherry crop that year. And so we're seeing more of those kind of phenomena. It's not just, of course, Oregon and the Northwest had their thing this year with the extreme high temperatures. We can see some of that. But I think a lot of what we're probably going to see more of are those kind of events where we get that unseasonable warm-up maybe early on, and then a frost, which damages things. More frequently, we're seeing, and we saw some this year till these past couple days here, where we're also seeing more frequent late season droughts. And so I get a lot of calls, for example, people start seeing maples and other trees starting to turn earlier. And so we're seeing some of those kind of effects. And so it's those subtle kind of things. Yeah, it could be getting warmer overall, but I think the things that are probably going to impact us economically and ecologically are going to be some of these more subtle things where we're looking at what we refer to as phenology. So when do things break bud? When do they set bud? And all of those, because that impacts when they're susceptible to frost and other kinds of damage.
Right. Do you have any predictions for next year beyond, presumably, it would be a slightly smaller mast here?
Yeah, that would be the prediction, right? Because, again, of this alternate bearing, and we see this with a lot of different nut crops, fruit crops, and so on, that when you have, again, the tree has put a lot of energy into producing these acorns for this year, then there's less energy to go into flower development for the following year. And so that's what we would predict. And again, then you have to superimpose over that sort of cycle, whatever the weather does, both this year and then into next year. If you get a late frost and it freezes which happens, it can freeze the flowers off of the oaks, just like it does to the cherry trees up in Traverse City, and that can impact the amount of nuts you get. Also, all of these things, when you talk about things like oaks and walnuts, these things that are producing these mast crops or these nut crops, these are all things that are wind pollinated. And so sometimes, even if we get a lot of wet weather or rainy weather, when those flowers are out, that can impact the degree of pollination. And so it's a very complex thing. And so the predictions are difficult. We usually know more after the fact than we do trying to predict it ahead of time.
Interesting. Bert, I know that acorns can be ground into flour and people use that for things, but what about black walnuts? Are these things safe to eat? I mean, can you do anything with all these nuts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of people harvest black walnuts. People can, use them as you would other walnuts. You can put them in baking. You can put them in ice cream. There's lots of things you can do with black walnuts. They're a chore to deal with, and I'm sure you've plenty of listeners that are people that harvest walnuts all the time. The one of the big things about them, of course, when you're dealing with the husks, is they're going to stain your hands. So you have to make sure you've got good rubber gloves on. The husks are a chore to get off. I've seen different things. Some people put them in the driveway, run them over with their car. a number of different ways.
Wait, seriously?
Because the husks are a mess, and getting those off, and then you still have to, of course, crack the nut. And they're of course much smaller nut meat than a typical English walnut that you would buy at the store. But yeah, lots of people harvest black walnuts for sure.
The car shell cracking method, crude but effective, I guess.
Yep.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows at michiganradio.org. Stream them whenever you want. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's pod was produced by Aaron Allen and Mike Blank. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.